Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well today. And if you're visiting us from out of town, we're really grateful you're here this morning. Thank you for choosing to worship with us. And if you are from this town and also choose to worship with us this morning, we want to welcome you. Thank you for being here at 9th and Main this morning. We're going to begin our lesson this morning, the lesson of the hour, as it's called. And I want you, if you have your Bibles, to please be opening your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to stay there in at least three verses where we're going to draw the lesson for this morning. Matthew chapter 7, and you're going to remember these verses. Notice, I'm going to read verse 21, 22, and 23 from Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lowliness, or you doers of iniquity. I don't know if you remember, but in 1631, there was a Bible that was published, and this Bible had a shocking error in it. There were 1,000 copies of this Bible, and there was a year that went by before they found out this error. What happened is that the seventh commandment was missing the word not in it. So instead of reading, thou shalt not commit adultery, the Bible read, thou shalt commit adultery. So what happened after this was printed, that this the publishers, which were named Robert Baker and Martin Lucas, they got in trouble. Whether it was their mistake, whether it was the printer's mistake, or whether it was somebody trying to trick them, or somebody that was trying to doing harm, we don't know. But what happened is that the Anglican Britain got really upset about this version of the Bible, and also King Charles I ordered all these Bibles to be banished and burned. Now, some of them made it alive. And what happened is that King Charles charged this man, both Baker and Lucas. Not only did he suspend or cancel their printer license, but he fined them with £300 at that time, which today will be equivalent to 4,000 pounds of penalty for what they did. Whether intentional or not, this scandal contributed to Baker's downfall, and he eventually died at the debtor's jail. 14 years with debt, and he couldn't pay back what he was charged for that horrible mistake that was counted as horrible mistake. But I want you to notice that for this publisher, this was a life or death mistake that he made. It was a life or death because it cost him his life, and he couldn't recover from it. Now, as we read Matthew 7 and these three verses we just read, I just want you, as time permits, I'm going to point out to you and draw you your attention to five life or death differences we find in this text. Now, let us move on into the first one. The first of these life or death differences found in Matthew 7, 21 to 23 is, in the first place, to be outside the kingdom or to be inside the kingdom. There's a lot of life or death decision that needs to be made, and a life or death difference between being outside the kingdom or being inside the kingdom. But what is the kingdom of heaven after all? What is this? Well, remember, as he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the kingdom had not been yet established. It is the kingdom of heaven. And it's mentioned 33 times in the New Testament, and just alone in the Sermon on the Mount is mentioned 9 times. This being the 9th time that is mentioned in this particular verse we just read. So it's very important to understand for us the what the kingdom of heaven is. And if you remember when Jesus was being interviewed by Pilate, and he said, well, if my kingdom was of this earth, my servants will fight to defend me. But notice, my kingdom is not of this earth. So we must understand that this kingdom of heaven is not an early kingdom. And it's not an early kingdom that is still yet to come. It was a kingdom, as we read in Mark 9 and 1, that it was at hand, and that it was going to be established within the lifespan of some of those who were standing there hearing Jesus preach. But the kingdom is also called the body, and it's also called the church. An example of this is in Matthew 18:16 and verse 18. But who are those who are outside the kingdom? Well, if I was going to just take the Sermon on the Mount, there are several conditions mentioned just in the Sermon on the Mount. But if we take the New Testament, the Gospel accounts, we're going to notice, for instance, if you remember Matthew 5 and verse 20, those who follow the law of Moses instead of the law of Christ are the ones who are outside the kingdom. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you must follow the law of Christ if you want to be in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, if you follow the law of Moses, you qualify as to be outside of the kingdom of heaven. Notice, also Mark 9:47, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes be cast into the hell of fire. So those who won't repent of their sinful lifestyle are considered to be outside the kingdom. Those who will not pluck their eye or their hand or his one foot because it's causing them to sin, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now we can go on and on and read these conditions. Notice, for instance, Jesus also said, if you are not like a loving child, you are outside the kingdom. Notice, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Notice, I'm focusing on the word enter, the kingdom, because you are either inside or you are either outside. Okay? And now notice one last verse on this. John 3:5. Jesus made it clear to Nicodemus that there were conditions to make, need to be made to be in the kingdom. So he said, Jesus answered to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is a life or death difference, either in the kingdom or outside the kingdom. And there are conditions to be in the kingdom. So who is inside the kingdom? Well, just take the opposite of what I just mentioned. Those who follow the law of Christ will be inside the kingdom because those are the conditions. Those who repent and cut out their sinful lifestyle are inside the kingdom. Those who do the will of the Father, we just read in Matthew 7:21, are inside the kingdom. Those who have the qualities of a loving child are inside the kingdom. Those who are baptized for the remission of their sins, born of water and the Spirit, are inside the kingdom. So this is a life or death decision. There is no middle ground. Either we're inside or we're outside. And this can cause us our life. Whatever we choose. So, this is one of the first life or death differences we find in Matthew 7:21-23. But let me point you to a second one. Remember, we're going to see five, so I better be moving quickly if I want to make it on time. Okay, so this is the first one. Now, notice the second one. Notice, in that same text, there is a life or death difference between he who says and he who does. He who says are in one group, and he who does is in another group. And this is life or death. You either are in the group of those who just say, or you are in the group of those who do what it said. And this difference has to do with obedience or disobedience. That's where the difference lies. Now remember, I was mentioning this morning in the class, I was mentioning about the parable of the two sons. And if you were in the class, you will remember at least that it was said at the temple on the last week of Jesus' ministry. And then what about this parable? Let me just read it to you briefly. And if you want, you're taking note, this parable is found in Matthew 21, 28 through 32. Notice, Matthew 21, 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first one and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And then he answered and said, "I will not," said the first son, son number one. But afterward, he repented and went. But notice verse 30. Then he came to the second son, and likewise he told him the same thing. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." So what was the answer of the second son? He said, according to the New King James, "I go, sir." "Yes, I will go." He said it. What happened to his deeds? Well, he belonged to the first group of those who only say, because he did not go. Now, Jesus makes the application. He asks the question, which of the two did the will of his father? Now, we can all answer this question very, very easily. It's an amazement how we cannot understand that we must obey. That's the hard part. I don't understand why we don't understand that. But we can answer this question rather easy. And they answer, "Yeah, well, yeah, the one did obey, did his father's will." Okay, and then he says, "Well, then I said to you," notice the application he makes. "Assuredly I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him." Notice this word, believe him. You did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed in him. Notice, not believe, believe. And when you saw it, you did not afterwards repent and believe in him. What am I using the word believe, or Jesus using the word believe, when we're talking about obedience? Because they're synonyms. How did they show that they believed in the preaching of John the Baptist? When they obeyed what John said. That's how they showed they believed. But those who didn't obey what John the Baptist said, they showed that they did not believe, or they did not obey what John the Baptist said. So this is very important. This is either we believe, or we do not believe. And notice, this happens all the time in life. This is everyday common sense. Now, when we take common sense out of the Bible, we're done. That's it. We need to have common sense. Now, this happens all the time. Now, if you believe that a plane, airplane, is going to take you where you want to go, what are you going to do? You're going to hop in the plane and buckle your seat and just wait for it to take off, because it is going to take you there. Now, if you believe that a prescription the doctor gives you is going to help you, what are you going to do? Well, that's if you have the money to, if it's not too expensive. What are you going to do? You're going to go buy it. Are you going to go take it? Now, the same thing happens when we see a green light. If you see a green light, you're going 45 miles per hour down the road, and you see a green light. If you believe the green light, what are you going to do? You better keep on going if you believe the green line. But if you don't believe the green line, then you're going to just stop on the green line and then cause all kinds of trouble. So believing is obedience. Believing shows itself in action. So that's the second contrast that we see. And there's so many Bible verses in the New Testament where they say that saying is not enough. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And that's found in Luke 6:46. And having been perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them who say it. No. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Obedience. It's a important thing. "But the doers be doers of the word, and not hearers also, deceiving yourselves." So the second contrast we find, which is life or death, is those who say and those who do. Now, if you have your Bible open and you're in Matthew 7, you're going to be fine, you stay there, because I'm pointing out differences right from that text. Okay, so going back, and let me point to you a third life or death difference that we find in that portion of Scripture. The third difference we find, which is life or death, in Matthew 7:21-23, is the words "not everyone" and the words "but he." Not everyone, but he. This is life or death also. This difference. Because there's the difference between everyone and he. And this has to do with quantity over quality. And sometimes I understand when we say we're looking for quality, not quantity. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is looking for both. Because he's not willing that anybody should perish, but that everybody will repent. And then I asked the question to some of the students, does God want the majority of the people to go to heaven? Yes. And everybody said, yes, he wants the majority of the people to go to heaven. You are dead wrong. Because he doesn't want the majority of the people to go to heaven. He wants all of them to go to heaven with him. So there is a quantity and there is a quality. But nowadays, in our days, quantity does not mean quality. Because, for different reasons. Because why sometimes are there so many people in one place? Makes me wonder whether they're teaching what the Bible teaches. Sometimes. Are they teaching on the cost of discipleship? Are they teaching on dying to oneself? Are they teaching on church discipline? Are they teaching on sexual immorality? Because some of these topics tend to discourage people that are plainly practicing all these sins. But notice, when we talk about quantity or quality, the truth is that the majority of the people would not want to follow Jesus. Where do you want to be? With the majority, or do you want to be with the fewer? Matthew 7:13-14, we know this text. "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction, and there be many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there will be few which find it." And this comes straight from the lips of our Lord. Notice, in a parallel passage, Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, many will seek to enter and will not be able." There's going to be something hindering them, like that eye, that hand, that foot. It's going to be hindering them to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because they don't want to do away with that sin. They want to keep it. They're pleased with that. And then as long as the church allows everybody to bring their sins and just, okay, you go ahead and keep that, and we'll, as long as you come, we're going to be teaching against what Jesus taught. Remember that rich young ruler that came to the master? He's young, he's a ruler, he's wealthy. "Oh, please come. We need you." "Oh, I really love my possessions." "No, it doesn't matter. You can keep on loving your possessions. Just come over. We need one more body. We want to fill this place." What happened? Well, he came asking to Jesus, what good things shall I do that I might have eternal life? Notice the question of this young man. And then Jesus answered him, if you want to enter into life, well, keep the commandments. And he said, "Which ones?" Well, Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "Well, I have done all of this. Not only am I young, not only am I wealthy, not only am I a ruler, and I can say, not only am I handsome, but I'm also a good moral man." But notice, Jesus noticed it that there was something he was lacking. And then he said, "While do I still lack?" He was hoping to get a pat on the back. You're very well off. Come over. And he said, "Well, if you want to be perfect or you want to be complete, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor." And why was Jesus asking this? That seems to be so unfair. Because he loved his possessions. His possessions possessed him. And we don't want, Jesus doesn't want a half heart. He doesn't want a room of 1,000 half-hearted disciples. He wants a few complete and full-hearted disciples that are willing to leave everything behind to follow him. That's a life or death decision. Either you are between the many or you are between the few. Which one are you on? Now, that's the third life or death difference we're looking at. I'm going to look at a couple of more, and I'm very well mindful of the time. I don't want to live here with enemies. I want to live with friends, and I'm going to let the Word of God be the one that speaks to you. Now, notice on the fourth place, there is also a difference, which is life or death, in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, and is the difference between the we think and the we know. There's a big difference. And this difference is also life or death. And this difference has to do with feelings, confusion, insecurity on one side, and security on the other side. Notice how this man had so many feelings about what pleased God. Notice how they had so, this is what I thought it will please you, and this is how I felt it will be right to do it, and just by doing it, I felt like I was saved. And then it wasn't the case. This difference also has to do with I always knew you, and I never knew you, which is life or death. Notice Matthew 7:22, which is right here on our eyes. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many things in your name? Have we not felt like this was something good we should be doing? Have we not felt or thought that this is what was right to do?" And then if we see the parallel account in Luke 13:26, we're going to find those who said, "Well, we ate with you. We were there in the crowd, sitting next to you. And we were eating what you were eating." Well, that doesn't make you my disciple. And then some go as far to say, "Well, you thought you were teaching in our place. You were teaching in our streets." Well, like if just teaching will save you. There's something you must do to be saved, not just Jesus passing by your street and then you say, "Oh, wow, that's wonderful. I'm saved." And then so many excuses. So it doesn't matter what we think, what we feel, or what we like. What matters is to be sure that Jesus knows us all along the way. And the Bible is very clear about it. What excuse will we say? Will we say when we out of that day? Did we not read the Bible now and then, Jesus? Did I not attend church during the holy days? I was there during the holy days. I thought that was what you wanted me to do. Didn't I attend just when there were gospel meetings? I thought that was what you wanted me to do. Didn't I was there once a month or so on? Didn't I attend? Didn't I read my Bible every so on then? Didn't I give all my means to some of the needs that were presented to me? Yes, but it doesn't come to what you think or what you feel or what it looks good. It comes down to what it is said. And you are sure about it. Remember John 15:13. And this is a wonderful verse that gives us security. What will happen if you were going to die today? I remember having a Bible study with the lady when we were back at Memphis. My wife and I were studying with this lady. And she's been part of a certain group. And we were studying our lessons. And then we got to the point where there was a question she had to answer. And then the question was, at this moment, how do you feel about your relationship with Jesus? That was the question. And there's three options. You either feel good, bad, or unsure. Well, after we were doing the lessons, he said, you know, I feel unsure. Okay, why is that? Because what I have done is not what I'm reading in the scriptures right now. I don't feel sure. I feel unsure. But notice, that's the purpose of the Bible. I gave you John 15:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. These things I have written that you may know, that you may be sure that you have eternal life, that you know without a doubt where you're going when you die today. It's not good for a Christian to say, well, if I die, I hope I'll be in heaven. That's not a Christian attitude. And that's not what God wants us to live our life. God wants for us to say, well, if you die today, I'm going to heaven. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm not being cocky or something like that. I'm just taking the Bible for what the Bible is telling me. So there's the group of those who are unsure, who are those who think, feel, and like, and those who know what the Bible says. And which group are you part of? Are you doing things because you think they're good, or are you sure that that's what God wants for you to do? I'll tell you something. There was a lady, and some of my students were asking several questions, and then this lady said, well, God created every religion so that you don't have to walk too far away to go to church. So you can find all types of churches close to your house. And then we said, well, okay, now how come they're all different if they come from the same God? And then she began to think. She said, well, I guess they're not all from God. Because if they're all well from God, then they'll be the same. We're either in the group who thinks and feels, which is a lot of groups nowadays, or a lot of beliefs nowadays, which say, well, this is what we feel, we like, and think is good. So far we've seen two life or death differences. We have seen those who are outside the kingdom and those who are inside the kingdom. We have seen he who says and he who does. We have seen that not everyone, and we've seen that but he. We have seen we think, feel, and like, and then we have seen on the other side we know, we're sure. Because that's what the book says. Now, what about today? I told you I was going to give you five. I've only given you four so far. I'm saving the last one just for the conclusion. So these are some life or death differences that we must understand, that we must follow, that we must do to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not an option. We're either in one and we receive that consequence, or we're either in the other one and we receive those consequences. We cannot just be out and then not receive anything. Just be outside of that circle. No. But notice, alas, as we close this thought, the last life or death difference that we read about in Matthew 7:21-23 is this day and that day. This day and that day. And this is also life or death. Because today, Jesus can be your Savior. That's today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. You can confess Jesus today, being the Son of God, being divine, being the Christ, who He claimed to be. Today also, you can repent of your sins. That's today. Life or death. If you don't do it today, Who knows if you're going to be able to do it tomorrow, much less in that day. Because when the Bible says that day, when Jesus says that day, now he's jumping ahead to the judgment day. Judgment day, that day, Jesus will not be your savior anymore. He's going to be the judge of everybody. He's going to judge us righteous. Righteous judgment. He's going to judge us according to what we have done and according to what he said, which is recorded here. I'm glad that it is recorded here. How can we face judgment if we didn't know how we're going to be judged by? Well, my words will judge you, Jesus said. And in that day, in the judgment day, there's no time to confess Jesus anymore willingly. This time, everybody's going to confess him. But then it's not going to count anymore. Today counts. Down that day, it won't count. And notice, in that day, there is no opportunity to repent. There is not a second plan of salvation after death. There is not another opportunity. There is not, the Bible doesn't speak about that place where the souls are, and then if you pray enough on earth, God is going to let them out. Or if you give enough money on earth, God is going to pardon them, and they're going to jump from one place to another one. That's a life of that difference. So, if you're not a Christian today, you have a life or death decision to make. Why don't you do it today? If you're already a Christian, but have not been faithful, you also have a life or death decision to make today. Do not make that mistake that you will regret for eternity. Please respond this morning as we stand and as we sing.